Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Another day, Lord, to breathe. Another day, Lord, to enjoy your presence. Another day, Father, to have our eyes beholding, O Lord, the handiwork that you have spread out in the universe and upon this earth, Lord. The beauty of your creations and to see the awesome work of your hand, Father. And we thank you for this life that we have, Father, Amen. Lord. So, Lord, as you approach thy word again today, we ask that, Lord, you be with us, open our eyes and open our hearts, Father, to receive to see what's in front of us, Lord, and what is to come. And we are longing, O Father, to be a part of the holy city, New Jerusalem, in the day when you set it up. And we know, Father, right now you are molding our life, you're shaping our life, Father, to be worthy of that, to be a part of it, that we may be worthy to be a part of that wonderful holy city, New Jerusalem. So, Father, we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We dealt with the holy city, New Jerusalem, in part last week. I just want to show you this chart so that you have an idea. Okay? Now, this is the pyramid looking from the top. Alright. And we know, as the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, that the holy city is built four square. Four square means four sides equal, and it's a square. Now, as we already read, that there are 12 gates. Now, so, we have 12 gates, 3 gates on each side. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. So, there are 12 gates all together because 3 by 4 sides. So, there are 12. And the 12th gate represents the entrance or the coming in of God's oracles or His light. His oracle means His law, His revelation, His word, whatever God wants to reveal to us. First, it came through the children of Israel. So, when God chose the children of Israel, when God chose Abraham, then from Abraham there is Isaac, and Isaac there is Jacob, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel, had 12 sons. Alright, so the nation of Israel then exists. And it is to this nation of Israel, the seed of Abraham, physical, natural, that God began to deal with them to bring them to the knowledge of the one true God. God chose Abraham out of the whole region of Mesopotamia, or rather we'll say out of the whole known earth, and at that time the population, chose him to make him a peculiar people, different from all the other people of the world. So with him, God chose him that he could bring about a nation. And then he promised him the seed, and that's why he's called Isaac. From Isaac came forth Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel because he fought and won over the battle or the wrestling with the angel of the Lord. So from Israel, 12 sons, and that's where the nation of Israel exists until this day. So it was through this nation of Israel that the revelation of the one true God is made known to the world. Because when God chose Abraham to start a nation, all those people back then, they have their nation, they have their tribes, they were majority of practically all idol worship or just plain heathens. Because the one true revelation of Yahweh began to dwindle down after the Tower of Babel. And people began to spread and then began to invoke the name of Yahweh upon idols of stones and idols of wood. And by the name of Yahweh was lost. You see. Alright? So it was through Israel, the nation of Israel, that the word of God came to. So the word, that's why there are 12 gates that represent the 12 patriarchs. This is how that the camp of Israel, when God called them out of Egypt, when they were wandering out of the wilderness, this is how they were camped, each of the tribes. There are 3 on each side, as you can see. Right? And that is the eastern side. And that's the tabernacle that faces east. Do you see that? It's all in this arrangement. Alright? Or this is also the way it is arranged. But this is east now. So this will be the direction. That's east. Because that's where the tabernacle will face east. All right. So we have Acts, Matthew, okay, Mark, Luke, and that's John. The four gospel. Okay, and these are four. These are the four sites. Okay, and of course they have the end sign, which of course they are placed around the camp as well. Okay, the bull is over here, and this, then you have the serpent, and you have the water, you have different enzymes here that you find if you read the Old Testament. But just to let you know how this looks, and always, the reason why it is always arranged in this manner is it appears to be a symbol of a cross. Alright? Okay, let's go back to the pyramid. So we have the 12, we have the 12 tribes. Okay? And each tribe is a gate. The gate represents the principality, where the oracles, the word of God comes in, and it comes to the 12 tribes. Now, we also read that the Bible says in the book of Revelation that there are how many? 12 foundations. Is that right? Now, this is the foundation. There's one here, an every corner, and two in between. So that they sandwich the gates in between. Okay, do you understand? Okay, so these are the 12 foundation stones, which represents the 12 apostles. The 12 gates represent each of the tribe of Israel. And the 12 foundation stones are the 12 stones that represent the 12 apostles. I want you to let you see this picture here, right? Now, in the center here, this is the top, the apex stone. Alright, the pyramid has an apex stone. This is what you see here. Now, this is what we call in the Bible the capstone. In the Bible, we call it the capstone. Alright, now, you know that in the Old Testament, as you see early on in that camp, and even in the Millennium Temple, you will have, the Bible will tell you about on the east side, the name of the tribes. On the south side, the name of the tribe. Alright. The west side and the north side, they will name the name of the tribes. But in this holy city, New Jerusalem, the city, even though the way the Bible describes it, it doesn't even give you that, it does not give you any name. On the east, we know that there are three gates. But it doesn't tell you the name of the tribe because the Holy City, New Jerusalem, as I said last week, it is not a literal city. So you cannot say on the east there is this tribe name or not, because it's not real. It's not a literal city. It's a spiritual city. Do you understand that? Okay? It just only describes to you how firm the foundation of the city is and how that the gate are locked in between the foundation stone. Alright, okay, let us go to some of the verses here just so that we can understand and see a better picture. Go to the book of Job, chapter 28. Alright, we said last week that if we were to remember that there are those who believe that the holy city, New Jerusalem, is a literal city in the shape of a cube, right? And it sticks up on the earth. Isn't it? And I told you, and we know that the atmosphere around this earth is up to 1,000 miles. But nobody even could breathe easy when you go up to 800 or 1,000. You need already oxygen to breathe because the air gets thinned out as you go higher. So now, if there are people said, well, why could it not be literal? After all, God is a supernatural God. He could remake the whole earth. Since He made a new earth, He could put more oxygen and make the level of the oxygen higher. You know? Or give special kind of lungs to the natural people to breathe so that they could go out there in his throne, 1,500 miles up there to worship him. But let us know what the Bible says, because God is very specific. When God knows something, now, God is a great mathematician. Okay? When He calculates something, when He builds something, when He measures everything, it is fixed. He doesn't alter it. Right? Okay. Look at the book of Job 28. And see what He says here in the book of Job. Alright. Job chapter 28 and verse 24 to 27. For He looked to the ends of the earth and see under the whole heaven, to make the way for the winds. And He weighted the waters by measure. When He made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did He see it and declared it, He prepared it, yea, and He searched it out. Now, so you look at this, is that when God created the heavens and the earth, even the wind has a way. Huh? You don't know, huh? Wind has no way. Yeah, it does not. Air has way too. The thing is that when God weighs up the wind, how much weight it is, how big it's going to get, what will happen, and so on. He has a pathway. And He even created a pathway for lightning. The lightning simply do not enter into homes. Have you seen a lightning comes into the window, into the house, into your bed? Unless your bed is near the window, it happens that, you know, there is a pathway. Right? So, if God has already decreed all these things, the water and so on, this, you know, the water on this earth is fixed. You cannot add to it. You cannot remove any portion away from it. Nothing. It's all fixed. The weight of this earth will remain constant. No matter the size of the population, no matter the size of the amount of trees grown and food grown, whatever, it remains constant. Everything is weighed up. You cannot change. You understand that? Alright? We can go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And see what it says here. And verse 12. Who have measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed in the mountain in scales, and a hill in a balance? So everything is already measured up, so you cannot change it. Alright? That is a fixed thing that we know to be true. So now, when the Bible talks about the holy city New Jerusalem being four square, as I said, it is four sides equal, and it's a square. But when the Bible mentioned about the height, go to the book of Revelation again and read it. Chapter 21. Alright, in verse 16, and the city lie four square, and the line is as large as the breadth. And He measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlong, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So now, we know that the measurement of the holy city, New Jerusalem, the breadth, the length and the breadth, they are 12,000 furlong. And even the height is 12,000 furlong. Okay? But don't jump to the conclusion, as I said, as it being a square. No city, when people measure a city, they always say so many square kilometers, right? Or so many square miles, isn't it? They are looking at the size of the area. Have you ever seen anybody measure the size of a city, the height of a city? Nobody measured the height of a city. They only could say, oh, the tallest building in the city is Petronas Tower or the Sears Tower in New York or whatever, maybe in Singapore, I don't know, the Marina, whatever, Westin Hotel or something like that. Is that right? So no measurement is ever taken of a city by height. Because how do you measure the height of a city? By the building, the tallest building, it is not true. So why do the Bible now mention it about this height? You can say about the square area. How big is the area of the city? So they give you an idea of the population. Is that all right? At least, huh? Give you an idea, okay, let's say so many meters square, a person is given the space. So when you have so many square kilometers, then you can roughly say, okay, there are so many people here, in that sense. Or how a citizen of the city, how much space he has. But when you measure the height of a city, why do you do it? You can't. So when the Bible mentioned about this pyramid, mentioning the height, it tells us about the volume. It's no longer the space, but the volume of the whole structure. And that's why the pyramid, if you look at the pyramid, the actual building of the pyramid, those stones. Look at these stones. Look at all these stones. So now you're looking at, now, nobody actually knows how many stones there are in this pyramid. Alright? Okay. But you see, when you look at the height, you measure the height, the breadth, the length, and the height is the same. So now, at least, if you talk about volume, the Bible just tells you, it didn't ask you to calculate the volume. But it does give us the idea about the people that can be sort of, well, I think that could be stacked up in that form. And also the reason why the Bible gives us understanding that the holy city in the shape of a pyramid and not a cube is because a pyramid is very stable and not a cube. Do you know that any structure of a building, if you have angulation, joints, they are very strong. Do you know that the wings of a plane is in a honeycomb shape, sort of structure? I can't remember whether it's a four or five sided, I mean five or three sided, six sided, you know. So that it is not easily broken off. It has strength. I hope you all know that, don't you? So in the pyramid, if you were to imagine that you draw a cube with straight lines, or if you build a structure, you use sticks to build a structure, all equal size sticks, build a cube and join the top with glue. Okay? And you put it there. And by using your finger just to push one side, you're bent, isn't it? Is it alright? But do it with a pyramid. You build a pyramid, try to push it, it will not bend. Will the structure bend because you angulate that at the joint? Is that alright? You cannot push it down. It's very stable. So that gives us the understanding that the holy city of God is laying on stable foundation. It's the people that have been glorified, the people who have been, you know, disciplined by the word of the Lord, purged by the word of the Lord, and make strong. And that's why they actually give us the impression or the picture of it. Alright. Okay, let us continue again now. Verse Isaiah chapter 28 now. Isaiah chapter 28. Verse 16. Therefore thus said the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Now this is a prophecy of the Old Testament. Isaiah prophesied about what God is doing. He is laying a stone. Because he is coming to build a house. And then after building a house, he starts to build a city. Now that's what you need to understand how God, that's the reason why, if to understand the plan and the purposes of God, you need to follow from the Genesis all the way through to see how God planned out his purpose. How that he fulfilled to bring about his plan and his purpose. You understand? So, in the very beginning, God already had laid in Zion a cornerstone to build a house. Right? And when you are thinking about a cornerstone, that's it, you're thinking about it as natural stone. Alright. It's the building of a house. So you lay the cornerstone, you start to use a plumb line, mark out the area, the size of it, That's called a foundation stone. Okay? Now, if you are thinking about the spiritual house, then that cornerstone, that foundation stone is none other than Jesus Christ. Because He is the first one among many brethren, and as Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat dies, it will not bring forth much fruit. Okay, so now, with the stone in the literal building laid down, and everything is measured up, so you start to lay your other stones on it to build a house. Is that right? So the same thing when Jesus came, He was the foundation stone. When He laid down His life, then He began to bring forth more fruits. Is that right? You see, bring forth of the same kind. So if He is a grain of wheat, He will bring forth more grains of wheat. So if He is a cornerstone, then He will bring forth other stones to build the house. And that's why in the Old Testament we see the tabernacle of Moses, and we see the temple of Solomon. I mean, it gets more grand, yeah? And then after that, we see in the book of Ezekiel, the millennium temple that is to come. And all of these are speaking about how God, from a simple, humble little tabernacle or Moses that He had given, grew up to be something bigger. Right? And so the same thing, this gives us a picture of that house that Jesus Himself is, and with the house, other houses are built. So if Christ is the house where God draws Him, He's the temple of God. That which the tabernacle symbolizes, the temple symbolizes. Then all the other tribes of Israel, all the houses are built on the side of it, on the outside, the surrounding temple. So just imagine therefore that for the cities to spring up, someone must start the work. Goes there, lay a foundation stone, build a house. Then more family comes together, more houses are built. By the time, maybe after a few years, well, it becomes a small town. And then it becomes a city. That's how it is built. So God gave us this picture for us to understand. Do you understand that? And therefore you are spiritual houses that will make up the holy city, New Jerusalem. Alright. Go over to the book of 1 Peter. And chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion. You know where Zion is, don't you? You know where Zion is? That's where Jerusalem is. Up there. Okay? So therefore I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believe on Him, the precious stone is who? It's Christ. So he that believe on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So when the stone that God laid in Zion, that is in Israel, when Christ came, the people of Israel, they themselves stumbled over the stone. They couldn't understand who Jesus is. That's why the Bible says, even to them which stumble at the word. Jesus is the stone that God laid. Huh? But yet the people to whom this stone came, they stumbled. They literally was offended by Him. I mean, I, in a way, I don't know whether we can say we blame them or not. Because the human, the carnal mind is such. Because when they read the prophecy of their prophets, they say, well, oh yes, God is going to give us the kingdom. He's going to give us a Messiah. He will be God, He will be the judge, He will be the king, He will sit and rule over us, right? But here came the very one who was prophesied in a humble way. Born of a carpenter. Huh? How could they accept Him? They can't. Because the mind that said, that's not possible. Our king comes riding on a donkey. King's supposed to ride on horses, not donkeys. A carpenter's son. You know. But the problem is Israel failed to see was because they failed to recognize that the Messiah must first come to pay a debt for them. A debt that he did not commit. He did not owe. But they owed him a debt. So he came to pay for them. But they could not see. And that's why they stumbled over him. And that's what the Bible here said, the stone which the builder disallowed. The builder disallowed. Who are these builders? The children of Israel, they are nations. And they are guided by religious teachers. And these religious teachers are the builders. Do you know what a builder is, huh? I'm a builder. One who builds up your spiritual life. One who teaches you the knowledge of God. The religious leader of Israel. They were the builders. But they would not allow Christ. They could not accept Him. The very cornerstone, the very stone, very precious stone, the chief cornerstone, the builder disallowed. No, he rejected. So you go to the book of Psalms. Psalms 118 and verse 22 and see what is being prophesied over here. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Just as what Peter quoted. Yeah? The stone which the builder disallowed or refused. That's what they refused Christ as the Messiah. He says, crucify Him instead. Look at that pyramid that you see just now in the stones. Notice how it is. Remember, I told you that there were three pyramids, big pyramids out there in Egypt. This is the one that is called the pyramid of Khufu or pyramid of Khufu. Look at the top. There's no capstone. There's no capstone. This part is just missing. How unusual. God put it up there and he asked Enoch to build this. And inside there it tells a story about the whole event that's going to happen on this earth. I mean, if you're interested, you can always go to the website and study. Huh? It's a gospel in stone. This is a gospel on paper. Right?
Yes.
And you are the gospel in flesh. You are the living gospel, my chief. Right? This is gospel is made up of stone. This gospel is written on a piece of paper. And the gospel is written in your heart. So that cornerstone is not up there. Because why? Even as it was already built, I would say about 5,000 years ago. Thousands of years ago, even before Jesus was born. This pyramid was built before the flood as a testimony to the world. And you don't even have a capstone. Now, according to pyramidologists, now they could not figure out how they could ever build this pyramid. And I'm not mistaken, I think it's about some 30 or 40 story high, something like that. I might be mistaken, but it's really high. They want to know how on earth they are able to build this pyramid so precisely. Huh? And the thing is this, it's not that the other two pyramids, the imitation, which the Pharaoh of Egypt built, they are simple. They just take stone and they stack on, let's give us stacking up the stone. But this one, they couldn't just simply do that, because why? There is a passage inside there. So there must be stone fit to make a passageway. You understand? And none of the stone is cut on site. You understand? No. Every stone is cut up the river now, somewhere else. So every stone, now all stones are different. You know that. If you take a stone from here, probably it looks like a block, that's all. And it's 6 feet high, almost, okay, by 6 feet wide. It could be a little bit of rectangular, right? But if you take the corner, the edge, it is cut kind of different. You all know that, don't you? So every piece is cut up the river now, and then shifted down to this place. And then it will fit in. And you know what? Every piece is so well fitted together that even the razor blade could not even slip in. It's so precise. And if any stone doesn't fit, it is rejected. And they go and cut another one and bring it down. That's really not what God is doing with us. You don't fit into the whole city, New Jerusalem, until he has chiseled you well. Do you understand that? Oh, I want to make the rapture. You want to make the rapture? You need to be chiseled well. So that you fit into that building. You fit into the house. You know. Do you know how that the mason, you see, you call them mason people who lay the bricks on the wall? Huh? Yes. And if you, they must know the size of the brick. Of course, every size, all the brick look the same, huh? Right? But in those days when they don't use brick, they use just stones, you know? What stone?
Sandstone.
So they just, you know, fit in. So if you have one that's too big and won't fit in, just throw away, they pick another one. So the same thing with this pyramid. Every piece is cut precisely and bring down and lock into place. Now, when they finish the whole, according to the pyramidologies, they believe that, I don't know how long it takes to build this. So by the time they, wow, that was before the flood. What did they have to bring this stone, one piece, all the way up? How did they do that? Maybe you watch the movie, Ten Commandments, they have all this rams that go around and things like that. Maybe, we don't know. Okay, but the pyramidologists believe that they might have discovered cosmic energy. And I don't know why, how they say they discovered cosmic energy so that the stone could be lit up somewhere, somewhat easily. So I have no idea. But the thing is this, is when they come up to the last piece, which is the big piece, they believe that because it was cut up the river now, brought down here, they hoist it up. When they put it on top of the pyramid, it looked out of shape. It looked out of shape. You know what I'm talking about? So they threw it away. So Jesus Christ was out of shape to the society. Jesus Christ was the odd one out of the society. Do you know what I'm saying? So they refused it. The pillar rejected it. So when the pillar rejected it, they said, just forget about it. So it was never left on. You know. So there's one thing about the way that God put this as a witness to the world. Pyramidologists studied and they know there's something about this. Of course, unless you don't believe in God, you believe that it is an alien thing. Like a crop circle. You know a crop circle? You heard about a crop circle? Somebody playing tricks on people and the people think there's an alien coming.
create all this crap in here.
Huh? You see? And what about in America? What is that place called? Area 41. 51, out of bounds. Because there's always supposed to America, some alien, you know, carrying all that. Oh, you see. Alright, so that is all what God has done for us, and I mean to show us, and we see in the Bible. Go to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. And he shall bring forth the headstone. Now, now look into the chart of those 12 stones again. Now, you have a cornerstone. Now, every building must have a cornerstone. They have to lay that cornerstone, huh? Okay? Now, every building, whether it's a square building or whether it's a rectangular building, you must, first of all, have a cornerstone to start out with in your building. Right? Okay? But this is just called the cornerstone, or chief cornerstone. But the Bible tells us about the headstone. If this stone out here now, Christ is no longer just the chief cornerstone. He's become the headstone. And so this four corners taken up by four, and then you have the other eight on the side, two on the side. So they have altogether 12. That's why it is given to the apostles. The Bible called that the 12 foundation. But Christ has become, that's what the Bible said, as we read just now over in 2 Peter, or 1 Peter, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Huh? It's become the head of the corner, strange way up. You know, because if you know and look at every building, okay, look at this one. Here is a corner, there is a corner, here is a corner. There's all four corners in any building. There is square or oblong. There's only four corners. But none of these four corners is the head corner. It's not called the head of the corners. No, it can't. There's only one stone that positionally plays, and it's called the head of the corner. The apex stone, they call it. The apex stone or the capstone. And this is the one right in the center. That's why the pyramid tells you that story. Now, for those who still believe that it is a cube, then you have the picture wrong. I mean, even Brother Bram said it was a cube. Because the way people read it, you know, and I want to say this, that Brother Bram don't know everything. And people do not want to admit that. You want to make him supernatural, and that's a shame. It caused so much problem. Ewald Frank said he's a cube. Ronald Jackson said he's a cube. When I read the Bible, I know he's not a cube. Common sense will tell you he's not a cube. And people don't want to say he's a cube. It's because, well, you know, Brother, you remember Brother Bram once talks about the dollar bill with the pyramid with the all-seeing eyes? Well, a lot of people said that is the Illuminati, that is the Mason kind of a symbol, and whatever they want to say. And then, Brother Bram never said anything about that the pyramid is pagan. Now, he used the pyramid during last week. That's why we have the statue of the perfect man. It's in the pyramid shape. Alright, but one thing Ronald Jackson said that he told me that the pyramid is a pagan structure. You see? Peter mentioned about it. I want you to know Peter mentioned about it. Zechariah mentioned about it. So, what structure? When the Bible uses the word head of the corner, the chief corner, the stone of pillar has become the head of the corner. God is building a people for himself in Israel. Christ was the chief cornerstone, but they rejected that. And that's why he became the head of the corner. in the form of this pyramid, and the pyramid is the only one that have a headstone. And this headstone anchor all the four corners as well as all these other. As you know, the Bible talk about the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Is that right? And Christ being the chief cornerstone, He is the truth, the headstone, the apex stone that holds the whole building framework at this point, from the top down. Right? And that's why when we look at this, if Christ is the headstone, He must be at the apex. Right? Isn't it so? The Bible calls Him the firstborn among many brethren. And He is the Lord. Is that right? Yes. That's what the Bible is telling you to see, to make you understand that there is only one person that is unique in the whole of this creation of God. The heavens and the earth. The one person that is unique and is none other than Christ. And all the theme of the whole universe and the earth runs. Okay? And life is because of the Word. Do you see this? Huh? Okay. Alright, let us go on. Well, if I want just to let you know that the word chief cornerstone is from the Greek word. It is akrogonios. And the word akro means the highest, have string tipped off the uttermost part. And gonia means the corner. So the only stone that is the highest and the tip and the apex and the top is the apex stone, which is the capstone. Alright? So right now let's go to the book of Colossians 1. So we are looking at now the why the Lord show us this imagery of a pyramid as regarding the Holy City in Jerusalem. We look at this pyramid. I mean, this is exaggerated a bit to make this bigger, because I don't want to put a smaller. Now, so this is the headstone or the capstone. That's Christ. So when we look at a pyramid, we realize that the base is always bigger than the top, isn't it? Common sense will tell you. You see, and you know about the pyramid, the nutrition chart in the pyramid, huh? How much you must eat, huh? What proportion, and so on and so forth. Okay, so this one gives us an understanding that Christ is the pivotal point. And you know, when you look at the pyramid like this, you know that God's kingdom the way He will run His kingdom is from the top down. Like any corporation or enterprise, there's always one big guy up there. That is spread down, right? And this is actually what the pyramid symbolizes. You see? So, the higher you want to get up to be near Christ, then the closer you should walk with Him. And that's why the pyramids, when you walk closer to the Lord, it gets narrow. It gets narrower upwards. You see the picture? Huh? You want to run your race well. Okay? If you want to be closer up to the Christ, then you find that you're going to be a few spaces up there, not many stones up there, as compared to the many, many stones like the bottom. So, by looking at the church, you know, the Bible talks about, oh, there will be 420 elders. And these are specially elected because they represent the patriarch and the 12 apostles. And then we have, of course, make the church of the firstborn. And this is the one, this is the group that will come out from every age by the word of God. They call them out to be separate away from all the systems of man. Okay, the church of the firstborn. And then you have the group that comes out during the period of the tribulation, they give their life out. The foolish virgin, the favorite Jew, they will form the bottom part. And then, of course, then the general assembly, which will come out at the great white throne judgment. You understand? Now, some people don't believe in God's kingdom, there is position. There is position. Isn't it so? The Bible, Jesus tells us about it. If you can be faithful to such and such, He will give you so many cities to rule. Is that right?
Sure.
Right. And even when John and James' mother told Jesus Christ, when you come into your kingdom, you know, let my son sit beside you, this and that, Jesus says, it's not me for me to give. Right?
Yes.
You know. And that's why every one of us is positionally placed. In the pyramid, where you are, every stone where it's supposed to be, God already knows and ordained so, where you will fit in. And then you tell me, oh, Brother John, if I'm going to fit down here at the bottom, so what do I need to run the race for what? It's just no purpose for me to do any better. After all, I'm going to be at the bottom, I'll always be at the bottom. How do you know you're going to be at the bottom? If you think that you're always, you're at the bottom, then you are at the bottom already. Because you don't show any desire in you to move closer and upward. Isn't it so? Why do we sing the song on a higher ground, with the upward walk, the song that we sing about going, forward? Listen. Because you need to know what God wants you to do, run the race well, get close to the road. Suddenly you don't want to be at the bottom here, do you? Because you end up there in the great white throne judgment, perhaps. Or you want to be somewhere here and you find yourself ended up in the tribulation. You see. Our sister Piper from Nebraska wrote me, as a very guy, don't worry about all these other people, I know you have been, they spoke against you, they hit you hard, they knock you down. Just leave them alone, You say, what can you do to try to change the mind of these people? You see. He said, whatever you write, whatever you try to tell them, they won't change. They won't change their mind because they already, you see that some people say that, like the denomination, their mind is mind just like cement mixed with concrete and well set full. It doesn't, you cannot undo it. And she tells them, they were out there in the tribulation, just leave them alone. And that is so very true. People who already make up their mind, as concrete set already, you can't change it. So if they want to go out there in the tribulation, they will be out there in the tribulation. All right, Colossians 1:15. All right, Colossians 1, verse 15 to 19. About Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and they are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principality or powers, all things were created by Him or through Him, that is to say, and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. All right. So He is the headstone. He is our elder brother, and we are His sibling. All right. Romans 12, verse 4. Romans 12, 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we are positionally placed. A pyramid stone, whether you be the, the side or the corner, angle point, whatever you are, we are already predestined for that. Okay. Now, let's continue. Verse 18 now of first of Revelation 21. All right. Revelation chapter 21, verse 18 to 21. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the fountains of the walls of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper. Remember now, the stone, huh? It's talking garnished with stone. So there are 12 of them. There's actually 12 foundations. Okay, the first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardis. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, a chrysoprasus. The 11th, a jacinth. The 12th, an amethyst. And the 12th gate were 12 pearls. Every several gate, that means every gate was of one pearl. And the city, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. So everybody said, "You see, Billy Gunn! It's a literal city out there, the golden street. And the gates are pearly gates." Now we see about all those things. Yeah, it is beautiful. That's all pictures. Okay, now, just look at the way the Bible describes it. The Bible said the wall of building was of jasper. Jasper is a stone that is translucent, it's clear, transparent. And he said the city was pure gold, like clear glass. What is pure gold? Pure gold is so fine. Now, in ancient time, I want you to know, in ancient time, they don't have mirror. Huh? They don't have glass that we have mirror. You understand? So what did they do for looking at their beautiful things? They take bronze or gold or what matter, they polish it until it shines. Huh? You know what I mean? So it becomes clear, they can see themselves in their reflection. So this is pure. So even pure gold, if you, it's so clear, it's light sparkling, it looks all everything like transparent thing, you know, because it reflects lights everywhere because it's sparkling. Okay? And then it says the city is pure gold like unto crisp clear glass. Shows also that there is no flaw in the bride. Okay? The city is adjustable. It's a little transparent, translucent. It means you see clearly there's no dirt in there. So the city of God, the saints of God, is pure. They have been purged. And how do you get pure gold? You must put it through fire. And to take away the dross, the dirt out of it. So gold will be refined. I think the only gold that you can buy today is 99.9% or 99.99% pure. Huh? Is there such thing as 100% pure gold? I never heard of. Is it really get 100% pure gold? It's possible, I don't know how they do. But when God makes us 100% pure gold, He knows what to do. Wash away all our sins by the word, wash away by His blood and His spirit. That's why we walk with Christ the way He wants us to walk. Okay? Alright? And the city, the street of the city was pure gold as it was transparent glass. Well, you know, since time immemorial, God has only ordained only one way for us to walk. God has only one way, one street. That's what the Bible mentioned in one street. There's no other street. The Bible said the street, there's only one way. How do you go to the, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's why the street is, the Bible described that way that we are walking in as pure gold. I know how precious is gold, huh? The Bible used this symbolism. Gold is precious. So is the blood of Jesus. So is the life and the truth that God has given us. All right. And here we have about these stones, the 12 stones, the pure precious stones. We know that how do you get pure precious stone? They all come through tremendous pressure. Now these 12 stones, we know that of course now it deals with the 12 apostles. And you know how the 12 apostles went through all over the world to get the message of the gospel to you, to the people? Many of them were killed, give up, you know, their life, they were taken. Like Paul, he was put in prison many times. He was beaten up many times. You know, they cast him out of the ship into the sea. He suffered shipwreck here and there. Robbed by thief. Mugged. Huh? And somehow burned at the stake. Peter was crucified upside down and beaten. They suffered. And so this stone judge of Israel, they went through on the journey under great pressure, a lot of tremendous pressure and trial and tribulation. Okay? So this is what, you know what? If we never been through a trial, if we have not been through a trial, you know what kind of person we'd be? If we have everything at home that provide us, you know, our Father provide us this, provide everything, we have everything, we have comfort. There is no trial and tribulation, it's never been through, it doesn't bring the best out of us. Huh? When you go through pressure, you go through a lot of trial, then you bring the best out of us. How do you think about these philanthropies, real philanthropies? People who, you find, they go into their background, into their history, you will find out that they come from a poor family. Usually, look at C.K. Tang, for example. How he started the business. And you know what happened after he died? His children fight over that property. You know. When you go through life trials and tribulations, and God allows that, it shapes you. See? Alright? Alright. Verse 22. I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And that's why we have Moses have this. God gave Moses the tabernacle to build. And later on from the tabernacle it gets into the bigger structure, into the temple of Solomon, which was made of wood and, you know, and stones and gold. And in the millennium it gets bigger. Alright, so in the Bible here, I saw no temple in the holy city, New Jerusalem. Why is it no temple? Huh? Because the temple is Christ Himself. And that's why later on we read how that the Bible said that this holy city, New Jerusalem, came down from heaven, and then the city need no light. Because the temple of God is the light thereof. So now the holy city came down from the heaven above. There is no temple because Christ and God is the temple of it. Do you understand that? Okay. Look at John chapter 17. We'll see what John chapter 17, verse 20 to 26 tells us. John 17, verse 20 to 26. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou give me, I give them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou loved me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father. The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and would declare it, and that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You see, this is the prayer of Christ. God in Jesus, Jesus in the Father, and he said that he wants that the church, the believer, those who believe would be one together with them. And so the holy city, New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, is God in Christ and Christ in the whole of this whole city. Do you see that there is no temple because it is not a literal city? I wonder how people can believe that it is a literal city hanging above the city of Jerusalem. Because in the day in the heaven, new heaven and new earth, there is no more boundary. As to say, oh, this is the city of Jerusalem, where is it? The whole earth is renewed. Do you understand? And there is no more ocean. So what on earth is going to say Jerusalem is here? The holy new Jerusalem has come down from heaven. The old Jerusalem disappeared. Singapore will disappear. Malaysia will disappear. America will disappear. When you talk about what? A literal city coming down and hang above the old city of Jerusalem. What vain imagination is that? That's why a lot of people don't even know the Bible and they think they know what they don't know. And try to teach those things. You see. Is that right? So until you know, you can't teach. And that's why Paul thought that he knew everything when he was a Pharisee. And he began to go after the Christian. And God and Christ stopped him on the way. And Christ, by his grace, opened his eyes. Then he realized. He says, all that I have learned in the denomination is but done. That's right. You see. Alright? Okay. Verse 23 now. Revelation 21, verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the lamp is the light thereof. Of course, this tells again another thing. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon. Do we need the sun and the moon? We are the city. We don't need the moon and the sun, because what brought out the light is the glory of God. Do you know what the Bible said? You know what is darkness? You know what it's like. The Bible said, God is light, in him is no darkness. What does it mean? In him is no tradition, in him is no error, in him is no falsehood. In him is just pure light, in him is pure truth. So now, if you, the Bible said, if you have the life of God in you, if you have the Word of God in you, then you have the light of Christ. You're the light of God. Is that right? So if you have the light of God in you, how do you walk then? Do you still walk in darkness? If you walk in darkness, you lie. That you said you have the Word of God. You have the light of God. Do you see what I'm talking about now? Can light mix with darkness? You can't. There cannot be anything. You cannot yoke. I mean, you cannot take light and yoke with darkness. Inside there, the room there is just darkness there. Open the door, what happened? The darkness ran away. Right away. Huh? And you cannot bring in darkness to the light. But you can bring light to darkness and darkness have to run. Have you ever, you know that, don't you? Huh? Yeah. You see that? Because light is life to begin with. And that's the very first thing when God recreated the heavens and this earth. Let there be light. And there was light. That's what came forth. Without that, there's no life. Darkness is death. Stay in darkness and see what happens. There are people who live, who lock them in a dungeon, for example, for years. What happened to them? Huh? They're pale, they're sickly. And when they were rescued and brought to the sunlight, immediately they were blind. They cannot see light like that all of a sudden. You know, it stunned their growth too. Unhealthy. We need light. And so the same thing with spiritual light. We need the true spiritual light. And that's why the Holy City, glory of God, Christ Himself. Now, let me ask you this question. What is the glory of God? Again, I want to emphasize this. If you forget this, one day I'm going to shoot you. You know what the glory of God is? The glory of God is His Word. Every time when you read the Bible, the glory of God is His Word. Huh? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And when the Word was made flesh, and the disciples said, we beheld the glory of God. Because you can't see the glory of God, and it is the Word that is revealed, that you see the glory. It is revealed in Christ that when we see the glory. And this glory of the Word of God is light unto us. So that's why when we receive the gospel, we have life, we have light. And therefore, if we have light, don't walk in darkness. And darkness is death. It will be contrary to your confession. You see? Right? So you cannot be unequally yoked. Now that is what the Bible wanted to show us, that pure light is always pure light. And the Bible here said, in verse 23 again, the city are not near of the sun, neither of the moon to shine it, for the glory of God, he lightened it. And the lamp is the light thereof, tell us spiritually, that it is not a literal city. Huh? The glory of the Lord of God did lighten him, because the Word of God is in us, it lightened us. We are the holy city in New Jerusalem. Is that right? Yes. The lamp is the light, he is the Word. And we are the glorified sin. Alright. And let's go to John chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 9. It says in John chapter 1, just to read it, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 9, that was the true light, which lighted every man that come into this world. Chapter 8 of John, verse 12, and it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Isaiah chapter 60, the Old Testament book. Remember, I told you that Isaiah 66 chapter is equivalent to the whole of the Bible, the volume of the Bible. Chapter 60, Isaiah 60, and we have verse 19, and Isaiah prophet said, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. For the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy glory, the Lord God thy glory. You see that? God is our light. We don't need sunlight, we don't need moonlight, because we are spiritual. He's talking about a spiritual city. I pity those people who still believe that the Holy City of New Jerusalem is a literal city. I feel so sorry for them. You know. I guess some people want to believe that they are going to have a mansion because they want a mansion. They're not satisfied with this apartment that they have on this earth. Or the house that they have. They want a mansion. So they believe it's going to be a mansion. A golden mansion. Brother Melvin, how big is your mansion? 5-10 rooms? Mine will be 20. You know, I will sleep in every room. Every night, they want to take turn, you know. Or maybe 30. One for a day of the month. How crazy can it be? You will think about mansion. Huh? Like someone said, the charismatic liars, preachers so much of them are liars. He said, oh, God showed me and brought me, the angel brought me to my mansion. And exactly what I have always wanted, God granted to me. I wanted a driveway, the open gate, and in the driveway, as the gate opened, I want in my mind, I always said that I wanted to have a fountain in the driveway. And there it was. God gave it to me. Hallelujah! Oh my goodness, I was wondering. Wow. He believes he's going to get a mansion. A driveway with the gate open up, and then the car driving, and then you can see that fountain right in the drive. You know how I see those? Huh? Wow. You know, I was just thinking this is just a big baloney. What a liar. A lot of liars. People, you know, a lot of people wanted to be preacher because they can get a lot of money out of being a preacher. Then they pass the money back around and collect money. Gee, oh my goodness. You know what? I have a mentor waiting for me. I'm not talking about a literal one. I'm talking about the spiritual body. Huh? The celestial body that is waiting for me when I stop all of this, when I die, should I die now? I go up there to take that one. And then when Christ comes back, you know, that one will come and pick up this body of dirt. Pick it up. Or when the rapture comes, this body will enter into that one, and when it kept together, it changed into a new body. That's what Jesus had. What Jesus has, he went through and passed through the wall. You know. And he could just go back into the heaven by floating it up. Because why? We're no longer in the three-dimensional world. The body is changed to a spiritual body. It mixes with the power of the Spirit of God. You'll see. And that's the mansion the Bible is talking about. Amen. Every one of us has a mansion out there in the holy city, New Jerusalem. But there's no, you don't have to open up. No, there's no door. You know? Because you are the heavens. You understand it. Okay. Alright, let's continue. Verse 24. Chapter 21, verse 24. And the nation of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Remember the nation of them which are saved. Look at this chart here. This is a new heaven, new earth. Okay? The nations shall walk. This, the nations. The people, these nations of people, they are natural people. They came out from where? They came out from here. When they passed, when they lived through the 1,000-year reign of Christ, in the age of regeneration, being purged by the word that comes out from Jerusalem, from the throne of Christ, as Christ regenerated the whole earth, regenerated the people. And Satan is locked up, chained up for 1,000 years. But at the end of it, when he is let loose, so that these people can be tested, they must be tested, because after all, they have lived for 1,000 years in peace and all the goodness of things that they have in life. So now they must be tested to choose signs. And so those who chose to fight against God and his camp, they will be burnt out and cast into the lake of fire. But those that pass through, those that stay faithful to the Son of God and not deceived, they will pass into this new heaven, new earth. Do you understand that? You will be the Indian, they will be the Chinese, the different nations of people. They will pass into here. And they will be the one that, as the Bible here says, the nation of them which are saved shall walk in the light. In the light of what? In the light of this holy city, New Jerusalem. Because Christ is in the holy city, New Jerusalem. This is where the light is. That's where the truth coming from. And there still are natural people here, those that came out from the age of regeneration. They are natural people. They will have to come and worship the Lord, obey the word of the Lord, and live by that light. Do you understand that? Okay, now before we continue, now the holy city in New Jerusalem says that there are 12 stones. Okay, and we read earlier on, sardis, the amethyst, the amaranth, and so on. Now, the high priest, he has a breastplate on the chest, 3 by 4, 12 stones all together. Okay? The high priest wears this whenever he ministers in the temple. Whenever they have any question to ask, they will ask of the Lord, and the light on the stone will sparkle to give an answer to the high priest. Do you understand? Now this stone here, there are 12 stones. These 12 stones are the same actually 12 stones, their name, that you find in the book of Revelation. Okay, now, the name may appear a bit changes, but actually, they are actually the same. Okay, now, why is it so they use the stones? Story always represents you and me. Because when the Bible said, Peter said, we are lively stones. Remember, we are a holy priesthood, a holy nation. You understand that? We are lively stones. You understand? Huh? Okay? Stone also, in one sense, also shows what? Authority. Upon this rock I will build my church. Now, Peter, remember how that Jesus said, Simon, you okay? I will change your name, call you Peter. Okay, so Peter became a rock, and he was also one of the 12 foundations. Remember, they anchored the whole of the holy city, New Jerusalem. Do you understand that? So this 12 stone on the breastplate of the high priest is also reflected in the holy city, just to give us an image and understanding how they got from the very in the beginning, shows through the ministry of Christ to bring about the light, the stones, the authority, and so forth. All these pictures of stones, hybrids, gold, purity, translucent. Okay? Alright, let's continue. And now, verse 25 and 26. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. For the gates of the city shall not be shut at all by day. There's of course no gates shut in the first place. Right? Huh? And there'll be no night there because there's no night. The holy city in New Jersey is a spiritual body of Christ. You understand, Monsi? So imagine, eh? Imagine that you are in the new heaven and new earth. Okay? The sun was spinning on its axis 24 hours a day, going around the sun 360 days in a year. Everything is set back. Okay? So, there will be night on one side of the earth and daytime on the other side of the earth. But the holy city, New Jerusalem, is not a literal city where we have to close our gate. Is that right? Sure. It's not a literal city. So the people of the world, wherever they are, still would have access to the holy city, New Jerusalem. Whether, because we know what, we are all scattered throughout the world, throughout the earth. It's not a fixed place, because it's the people of God, it's the holy city, New Jerusalem, the glorified saints of God. Some will be in this side, way, that side, one will be in the north, one will be in the south, this and that. Right? Sure. So all the sun when it faces the sun, the people will be awake. They will come to worship the Lord. The other side that is not facing the sun will be in darkness. The people, natural people will sleep. But the saints do not have to sleep. Right? Isn't it so? So that's what the Bible is describing to let you know. That this city, New Jerusalem, is not literal. And verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nation into it. So, the natural people, remember new heaven, new earth? What do you think they do? What do you think these natural people do in new heaven, new earth? In the millennium, remember, where there will be no war, where the lamb will sit with the lion, where a child will play at the hole of a snake, or the apse, or the viper hole, you know, or play with the snakes. There will be no harm in the age of the millennium, in the millennium reign of Christ. So, that prefigure what's going to be in the new heaven, new earth. So now, when we go into new heaven, new earth, the natural people will go in that. The animals will still be there. Right? The wild animals become tame. Do you understand that? But what would the people do? They are natural people that will have to work. There are a lot of Christians that don't understand. They think, oh, heaven and God, heaven, everything is just like, you know, lazy around. Just doing nothing. Relax. Play the harp. Or maybe they play the PS2 station or whatever. You think there's some kind of game up there. Everything is nothing to do. You know, the Bible, I always say that And Jesus said, hitherto my Father worked, so I work. Now we are going to work. The people must work. And that's why our body is built the way that if you don't work, you know what happens? You die early. You believe me now?
Yes.
Right, brother Dan? Okay, we have to work, baby. No matter how whatever the body is suffering through, you know, getting old, we still have to work. If you don't work, surely die early. And God is a chasia. What a sit and eat and die.
Yeah.
So the body is made in such a way that you have, and that's the natural body. But the spiritual body, we still have to work because we have a government to run. We have a kingdom to run in the new heaven and new earth. Alright. So they will have to come through the gate, huh? I mean, the people, when they come to bring their glory to the Lord and honor, as I said, in the future, I don't know what's going to be, how it will be, but there were law issued forth from Christ to the people, and they will bring their glory and honor into it. And so we are the city, we will receive those, what you call, honor, as we are the holy city anyway, the body of Christ. Alright? The other thing is that since the holy city, New Jerusalem, is not a literal city, it is not one location. Okay? It's a body of Christ spread all around the earth. So when people come, the natural people come to honor and pay their honor and glory to the Lord, they don't have to travel far away to the city because we are everywhere. Do you understand? We will receive the honor. We will receive the glory that they have to honor Christ. And we will be acting on the behalf of Christ. Do you understand that? You see, God in Christ, and Christ received the honor when he was on earth, remember? Huh? Now Christ is in us, in the new heavenly city, New Jerusalem. So the people bring the glory, we just receive it and acknowledge it. You see the thing or not? Okay, so it's not traveling around, oh, we need to play. I mean, in those days, I can tell you, there's no plane, huh? Today you want to go to pay the homage like a Muslim. They want to have pay their Hajj. They have to go all over to Mecca. You see. Right? Or for some of you who want to go to Jerusalem, maybe, because Jesus walked Jerusalem, so I want to go there. So then you want to take, you have to go all the way there. But the Holy City, New Jerusalem, you don't want to fly anywhere. It's just next door to you. So to speak, we are tabernacle among the natural people. Okay? Last verse. And there shall be no wise entering anything that defile, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So this verse is a retrospective reflection. You understand that? It just ended up to throw back to say that in this city, for you, anyone who want to enter into this city, you cannot be a liar. You cannot be abominable person. And so you must be born again. Sinner cannot enter in. To become a sinner, to become a citizen of the part of the holy city, New Jerusalem, you must first of all receive His word and be born again. That's number one. And that is during the gospel age, which is now, not in the future. You want to be part of the holy city, New Jerusalem? You must become a citizen. And I'm a citizen. Are you not? Amen. So, to be a citizen, you must be born again. Now, number two, once the age of the gospel age is over, alright, while we have those who are resurrected, they will form the first group. Then those who did not make it pass through the tribulation, then they have to give their life and they will make up another group. And every one of them who make up this holy city, New Jerusalem, their name is in the book of life. If their name is not in the book of life, then you don't have it. Because these people are purged. They are purged, they are sanctified, and then they are glorified. just as what Paul said in the book of Ephesians. Okay? Alright. So, those who do not have the light of the city in the new heaven and earth are the natural people. They are the natural people who walk in the light of it. Alright. Now, just to close. Christ Jesus, the last Adam. We know that there are two Adams. The first Adam is natural Adam who brought the fall. But the last Adam, Jesus Christ, he came to fulfill what God already planned and foreordained before the foundation of the world, together as spiritual glorified people for the family of God. Alright. And as the Bible would say, that they will come and tabernacle upon this earth, and the natural people, God said, they will be His people, and God will be their God. Alright? And I'm glad that we are looking forward to that, and surely it will come to pass what we desire, that God will grant to us. One last verse to read before we close. Revelation chapter 21 verse 3. Okay? Just read the verse. Retrospectively, now we come back. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. So that ends the whole topic of the Holy City, New Jerusalem. Next week, we'll go into chapter 22. And we still, of course, have a little bit of the Holy City, New Jerusalem. And we will end with that chapter next week. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for what, Lord, you have shown us concerning this Holy City, New Jerusalem. Appreciate, Father, the revelation of it and what we are shown, Father, Lord, and created to be a part of this Holy City, New Jerusalem also, Lord. We thank you, Father. Help us to hold to the word faithfully, O Lord. To always walk in thy light, and to be a true witness of the gospel of Jesus. Lord, look upon us not as a troublesome people, Lord. We know, Lord, we are failing in life. But Lord, we know you still look upon us as a people who need your strength and your chastisement, O Father, to that we may walk in thy way, in the way that you want us to, Father. But help us to strive, Father, to strive for that which is holy and pure, strive for that which is life, eternal, always. And may we continue to hold fast to the faith in this troublesome world. Strengthen us, O Lord, and trust. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.